Recently, I learned about the five jagged rocks of liberal religions. They resonated with me immediately, so despite Unitarian Universalism already having seven principles and six sources, otherwise known as a lot to remember, I'll try to brush these five jagged surfaces as I speak today. When David fought Goliath, he carried five smooth stones with him. They represented faith, obedience, service, prayer, and the gift of the Holy Ghost. These stones are often too smooth. The jagged rocks are named after David's five smooth stones. They are jagged because they are not always easy to understand or agree with, yet they are the core beliefs of Unitarian Universalism. They are from the essay, Guiding Principles for a Free Faith, by James Luther Adams, the most influential American UU theologian of the 20th century. His ideas have been expanded upon by UU ministers in the Mountain Desert District, just east of where we are, to create these not-so-simple statements. There is a unity that makes us one. All souls are sacred and worthy. Salvation in this life. Courageous love transforms the world. Truth continues to be revealed to us. Now let's meditate on these as we listen to Deborah play some music. There is a unity that makes us one. This ties in with our seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of existence of which we are a part. We share a humanity and common needs with other people. The similarities that unite us and make us one are more important than the differences which often seem bigger. A strength of Unitarian Universalism is that it values the principles by which we live as more important than any individual's belief on various topics such as God, the afterlife, or what evil is. Community and connection are more important than being on the same side of a ballot, or going to the same type of church, or going at all. Let's step back to the wider web of existence the seventh principle uplifts. When Neil deGrasse Tyson, a renowned astrophysicist, was asked, "What is the most astounding fact you can share with us about the universe?" He ended his answer with, "We are part of this universe. We are in this universe. But perhaps more important than both of those facts is that the universe is in us. When I reflect on that fact, I look up. So many people feel small because they're small and the universe is big. But I feel big because my atoms came from those stars." Whether you believe in God or nature, or find the two inseparable, through it, everything is connected. There is a unity that makes us one. All souls are sacred and worthy. Jenica Davis Hockett, who is involved in youth ministry, wrote in an essay about UU faith, "You can't believe that someone deserves more or less love because of their skin color, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, how much money they make or owe, or because they've done something good or bad and still be UU." When Dr. Carl Rogers, who I was surprised to learn just 3 days ago, is a different person than Mr. Rogers, believed a human's goal in life is to be the greatest human they can be and fulfill their unique potential. He called this process self-actualization. The opponent of self-actualization is the conditional worth society assigns people based on what they do, or own, or are. It says, "You are only worthy if you meet society's conditions, if you make enough money to afford a place to live, if you conform to gender norms, if you don't rock the boat. You are only important, or worthy of love, or deserve success if you do these things, follow these standards, and if you mess up, you're a failure." But no, that's not the case. Unconditional love, people. To actualize, one starts by valuing other things, other people, as they are. Humans, valued as humans, beautiful, imperfect humans. By doing this, you regard other people positively, which leads to positive self-regard. Through this growth mindset of what is realistic and achievable instead of what is perfect or society's ideal, you're able to be your real, achievable self. You inherently have worth and dignity. All souls are sacred and worthy. Salvation in this life. Spiritual practices are so important and much more present than I thought. I only learned about them recently. Mine include flossing, dancing, and smelling flowers. While writing this, I partook in the spiritual practice of looking a word up in the dictionary, actual paper dictionary. Salvation, noun, preservation or deliverance from destruction, difficulty, or evil. From the Latin, salvare, to save. I don't know what I believe about the afterlife. Right now, it is more important to formulate my ideas about how to show up each day and be a positive force in the here and now. The here and now is overwhelming. There's so much that needs to change. Right now, right away. It is easy to overlook the change an individual can make or make possible. It is easy to be scared off, overwhelmed, frozen in inaction. I strive to ask myself each day, what am I doing to positively impact the world? The answer never feels like much. Most days, I forget to ask. Are there things in your life you would like to change, to have done differently? For better or worse, we likely won't get a do-over. Now, take a gander at this concept. Time travelers go to a different time period, and whatever they do ends up having a big impact. What if, instead of going back in time to fix our mistakes or do what we were too shy to, what if we're time travelers of the present? To take action, to open opportunities for ourselves, to engage in positive, healthy relations, and to shape the world into a more positive place in whatever small or large way we can, to live sustainably and encourage others to do likewise, to be our best selves. That's something I want in the forefront of my mind, knowing my actions have impact and that this is my life, right here, right now, this. What priorities will I rearrange? What are the most important aspects of your lives? What are your priorities? How do they connect to that big word, salvation? Here's a quote from the beloved Portland author, Ryan Doyle, to keep things in perspective. Maybe if we celebrate grace under duress rather than the illusion of total victory, we will be less surprised and more prepared when illness and evil lurch into our lives, as they always will. And maybe we will be better and braver people if we know we cannot obliterate such things, but only wield oceans of humor and patience and creativity against them. We have an untold supply of those weapons, don't you think? That quote is on the refrigerator door and quite a delight. Let's be the best people we can be, our true, attainable selves, and enter in right relations with our communities. There is time to make change, and you have the power to be a part of that sacred process. We will stumble, but we'll restore one another and begin again in love. There is salvation in this life. Courageous love transforms the world. Here's a longer version of this jagged rock. We are called to be and become the beloved community, which we create through the practice of and partnership with the transformative power of courageous love. By cultivating beloved community, we are stronger together to care for each other and to cultivate change together. Remember the first line of our covenant. We covenant with each other as a community of love. One beloved community is church, congregation, fellowship, a religious community. By coming together, we care for one another and challenge each other. at the same time. Despite loving this strong, sacred community, when I was asked just a few weeks ago if I was religious, I said, I don't know how to answer that. I know I was not alone in that hesitancy or confusion. The hesitancy came in part from that weird stigma around being religious. The need to clarify, I go to church, but it's not like that. Without really thinking about it, I often avoid mentioning church or Unitarian Universalism. This doesn't make any sense, since I'm a big fan of Unitarian Universalism, and this community has a large impact on my life. In response to the way people are tending to lean away from and stigmatize religion, Reverend Lillian Daniel, author of When Spiritual But Not Religious Is Not Enough, said in an interview, "It takes a certain maturity to find God in the person sitting next to you who not only voted for the wrong political party, but has a baby who is crying while you're trying to listen to the sermon. Community is where the religious rubber meets the road. People challenge us, ask hard questions, disagree, need things from us, require our forgiveness. It's where we get practice, all of the things we preach." This sacred community does so much to strengthen us and help make us whole. Reverend Daniel asserts that choosing to rub shoulders with your neighbors is a radical act, which is unfortunately becoming less common. It's worth it to work through the uncertainties we experience regarding our faith, and for each one of us to learn what Unitarian Universalism means for us. For me, learning about the history of UU helped reveal the significance of this faith to me. From the youth-powered merger of Unitarianism and Universalism, before then, the times throughout history when religions expanded their views in search for truth, the importance of human rights and social justice throughout UU history. The flaming chalice was designed as a symbol for people, often Unitarian, working to move refugees of Nazi Germany to freedom. Let's see where this faith community moves next. I know that I can now proudly answer, yes, I am religious. Let me tell you about it. By creating beloved community, we strengthen each other and make change more readily available. Courageous love transforms the world. Truth continues to be revealed to us. Science never fails to remind people how much there is yet to learn. Each day has new experiences, new thoughts. We read new ideas to us, change our interpretations of life and our relationships with each other. Historians uncover art that has been hidden for hundreds or thousands of years. People create new art. Music is a strong mode to share revelation. Mahler, a revolutionary German romantic composer, tried to express all the emotions humans experience in one piece of music. The entire range of human emotions. Yet for 50 years after his death, his music was rarely played. The beloved American conductor and composer, Leonard Bernstein, recognized the importance of Mahler's work and brought it into the spotlight. He thought the reason for the rejection of Mahler's music was that it touched too deeply on people's concerns and fears about life and death. Quote, "That's the real reason for the 50 years of neglect that Mahler's music suffered after his death. Not the usual excuses that we always hear, that the music is too long, too difficult, too bombastic. It was simply too true, telling something too dreadful to hear." Everyone holds a piece of the truth. I know that each one of you could come up here and share something valuable, sacred, unique. Please take a moment to think of something you could share with a neighbor. A personal belief, something you wonder, a reflection on the sermon, a piece of information you find interesting, how you came to be at a UU church, anything. At the bell, let's take 3 minutes to share with a neighbor we might not know so well. The Yars a religion which, like sunshine, goes everywhere. Its temple, all space. Its shrine, the good heart. Its creed, all truth. Its ritual, works of love. Its profession of faith, divine living. Go in peace, and blessed be.